This is episode 717 of the AWS podcast, released on April 21st, 2025.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the AWS podcast. I'm Lesh with you. Great to have you back, joined by both of my co-hosts, 3AZs in operation today. Firstly, joined by Gillian Ford. G'day, Gillian.
Wonderful to be here, Simon. And Shruti, it's been a while, so this is super exciting.
I know. It's been a while since all three of us did this together. So
exactly.
Indeed.
We made it happen. Hurrah! So a couple of headline news stories to talk about first before we get into the guts of the update show. So we have a new foundational model. The Amazon Nova Sonic is the latest one. It's available in Bedrock, and it unifies speech understanding and generation into a single model. That means you can have natural human-like conversational AI experiences with low latency. So this is designed for things like customer support calls, outbound marketing, voice-enabled personal assistants and agents. I'll talk about more about that shortly. Interactive education and language learning. But Gillian, it's got some good numbers around it too in terms of context and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, 300K context window with a default connection time limit of 8 minutes. I mean, that's pretty impressive. And I think one thing that I think stands out to me as I'm talking to customers about a lot of use cases, especially in like call center types of like scenarios, is understanding that intonation and emotion. I think that's super cool.
Yeah, and that ability to barge in and sort of not be locked into, it's like playing a video game. And you know how some video games you're like linearly locked into the path and others are sort of like open ground. This is open ground, which is really cool. And you can use tools, it supports agentic workflows, et cetera. So it's got some really good capabilities, and it's accessed through a bi-directional streaming API in Amazon Bedrock. And so this means things are going both ways, bi-directional. Now, what's interesting, and the reason why I said I'll come back to it later, is I've been playing with this particular model because I have a dream. I don't know if you've noticed this, but if you're doing coding and you're using AI, particularly agents, to help you, which is a good thing in my experience, there's a lot of wait time while you're waiting for stuff to happen. So then you go and do something else and then you don't realize it's finished or it needs more input or what have you, and then you've got to come back to it, etc. So I was thinking to myself, self, wouldn't it be great if I could just talk to it and have it talk to me and let me know when it needs more information or is sort of done? So I'm toying with using Sonic to do that. But because I like to write in Python these days, I discovered that there is a new experimental Python SDK for AWS that I did not even know was being worked on. And Amazon Nova Sonic, because it uses the bidirectional API, only works in that experimental SDK. All the other SDKs support it, but the experimental one for Python is the one you need to use to get this to work. So just a little tip there, and just to prove that, yes, we do use our stuff. So I'll let you know how that experiment goes, if it goes anywhere. The other thing that really caught our eye was that Amazon Bedrock Guardrails has announced some new capabilities to safely build generative AI applications. And Shruti, safety is a big deal, isn't it? It's like, it's really what people care about with a lot of this stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, a lot of these AI models still hallucinate, or they might, you know, divulge information that we don't want them to. And so, yes, safety remains really, really important. And I think now Bedrock Guardrails detects harmful multimodal content with up to 88% accuracy. So that means it can detect content or content issues across not just text, but also images. And I don't know if other modalities are supported, but definitely text and image data.
Mm. Which is pretty cool. And the nice thing as well is they've kind of made the controls more granular. So now you can control policies on inputs, outputs, or both inputs and outputs. Whereas before, it was just automatically both. And you may want different controls on different things, which is really interesting. And there's also a lot more control over personally identifiable information. So you can have blocked mode, which means you can't use any requests of that. Nothing shall pass. Or you can use what's called mask mode, which redacts it using standard identifier tags. So it lets you sort of blank out the sensitive information. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah. And sounds like we also have a lot of comprehensive monitoring with logging to Amazon CloudWatch. logs, because as you are developing these applications and even when they are running in production, if it's not working as you intended to, it's really important to get all of that guardrail trace documentation.
And I guess it's useful also if you're getting an audit or what have you, and they say, hey, prove that this is doing what it should. Well,
you've got
CloudWatch logs, or it can go to S3, and you get all the trace documentation that shows how it was filtered. So it's not just that it was filtered, but how it was filtered. So I think it's a really interesting development. So Shruti, what else is new? Let's start maybe with analytics.
Let's get started with analytics. AWS Cleanroom Spark SQL now supports aggregation and list analysis rules. For example, advertisers can use list analysis rules to create targeted audience segments from collective advertiser and publisher datasets without sharing the raw dataset used to create the segments. And similarly, publishers and their partners can run media planning campaigns, measurement analysis across their dataset using aggregation rules to compile joint statistics results, protecting the underlying data of all collaborators. I used to come from an ad tech background, and so this is pretty interesting to me, what we are supporting here, just because having this sort of a control over what type of data we want to surface, what type of insights we want to surface, is quite important, while still kind of protecting the data set and the underlying data across all collaborators. Amazon OpenSearch ingestion now supports enhanced auto-scaling capabilities, allowing pipelines to scale dynamically based on additional parameters, including Amazon SQS queue size, persistent buffer lag, and the number of incoming HTTP connections. Amazon QuickSight launches dashboard versioning and publish any analysis to any dashboard. Dashboard versioning enables authors to view and easily republish previously published versions of their dashboards, as well as the notes on what updates were made by whom. This has got to be helpful, especially when you're working across teams and maintaining these dashboards. So that's a cool one. Amazon QuickSight launches Amazon Q in embedded QuickSight. The generative BI capabilities of Amazon Q in QuickSight help business analysts and business users easily build and consume insights using natural language. This is, yet another. We are embedding Amazon Q across so many different services, and this is one of those integrations. AWS Backup introduces support for Amazon Redshift Serverless, making it easier for you to centrally manage data protection of your Amazon Redshift Serverless data warehouse. You can now use AWS Backup to automate backup and restore of both Amazon Redshift Serverless as well as Amazon Redshift Provision Cluster snapshots, along with other AWS services for compute, storage, and database.
One quick update in application integration. Amazon SNS now supports IPv6.
The charge to IPv6 continues. It is the year of IPv6. It's finally here, everyone. now we just need the year of the Linux laptop and we'll be good to go. Let's talk about artificial intelligence. Amazon Bedrock Knowledge Bases now supports hybrid search for Aurora PostgreSQL and MongoDB Atlas vector stores. So this can help you improve the relevance of results. This previously only worked with OpenSearch Serverless and OpenSearch Managed Clusters, so now you get more options. Amazon Lex has added the ability to control intent switching during conversations, so you can stop unintended switches between intents while you're getting information from your user. Amazon SageMaker Studio now supports recovery mode for applications, so this means you can regain access to your JupyterLab and code editor applications when configuration issues have caused you problems. Amazon SageMaker Catalog adds precise technical identifier search in SageMaker Unified Studio. So it means you can find precise searches by enclosing terms with double quotes, our old friend, and that makes it easy to find stuff as stuff tends to propagate. Amazon Bedrock now offers Pixtra Large 25.02, which is a multimodal model, say that three times fast, from Mistral AI. In fact, a multimodal model from Mistral AI. There you go. Say that. And this is a 124 billion parameter model with multimodal capabilities that gives you state-of-the-art image understanding and powerful text processing as well. So this is a really cool 128K context window on this particular one. Trained on over 80 programming languages too, so I might have to give that a bit of a go. Amazon Bedrock announces general availability of prompt caching. Now, this is a new capability that can reduce costs by up to 90% and latency up to 85% by caching frequently used prompts across multiple API calls. So this was in preview at reInvent. It's now generally available. So prompt caching allows you to cache repetitive inputs and avoids reprocessing context such as long system prompts and common examples that help guide the model's response. When you use prompt caching, fewer compute resources are needed to produce your inputs. As a result, not only can we process your request faster, we can also pass along the cost savings, which is a good thing. And so prompt caching is now generally available for Anthropic's Claude 3.5 Haiku, 3.7 Sonnet, Nova Micro, Nova Light, and Nova Pro models. And if you had prompt caching preview, you retain your access for version 3.5 V2, but new ones don't get that one. So just keep an eye on which models you're particularly using. Amazon SageMaker now offers 9 additional visual transforms, so things like derived column, flatten, add current timestamp, etc. And we're also thrilled to announce a few other updates, including support for the Llama 4 models in SageMaker. So if you want to get your hands on that particular one, you can spin it up. Amazon Q Developer has expanded multi-language support within the IDE and CLI. So this is really important because now there are languages including Mandarin, French, German, Italian, Japanese, Spanish, Korean, Hindi, and Portuguese. And that's just a few of them. There are more. And Amazon Q Business Browser extension is now available to all subscribers. So now you can put it into your browser. So this is a browser extension for Google Chrome, Mozilla Firefox, and Microsoft Edge. And it means you could do things like summarize web pages, ask questions about content in the browser without having to get out of it. So it's pretty handy. We use that capability a lot within Amazon. I know that when I'm reviewing a document, I press the button and say, hey, this is the document I'm talking about. Now go do stuff.
Next up, we have a few updates under business applications. Amazon's Simple Email Service, or SES, launched support for adding attachments to emails when sending via SES Simple Sending V2 APIs. So customers can now add attachments such as PDF documents to emails or include images for rendering inline in email content without requiring image downloads. This makes it easier to send email content with the convenience of the SES sending APIs. So if you were using APIs, the SES APIs to send emails, now you can attach things. SES Mail Manager now supports incoming connections from customer VPCs via private link. This makes use of private link connectivity features already provided by AWS.
Now on to your CFO's favorite topic, cloud financial management. Cost Optimization Hub now supports DynoDB and MemoryDB reservation recommendations. You can filter and aggregate recommendations across both services, making it easier to identify the highest cost-saving opportunities for DynamoDB and MemoryDB. If you haven't used Cost Optimization Hub, I highly recommend it. It just gives you a really good view overall in your AWS posture to see recommendations and other additional cost-saving opportunities.
And being on good terms with the CFO can have lots of results in the future for when you ask for funding for your own project. Things can go well. Let's talk about compute. We're introducing 2 new Amazon EC2 i7 IE bare metal instance sizes. So these give you the 5th generation Intel Xeon scalable processors with a 3.2 gigahertz all-core turbo frequency. So compared to the i3 EN instances, 40% better compute performance, 20% better price performance. So my reminder to you to review on a relatively regular basis, I recommend 3 months, feels about right, your distribution of instance types that you use, because you can always often find something better. And Compute Optimizer can help you with that and actually tell you that. AWS App Studio has introduced pre-built solutions catalog and cross-instance import and export, so you can quickly get started and share amongst yourselves. And one quick extra one that is kind of interesting because it relates to a snide comment I made earlier, which is that we now have the general availability of the 7th quarterly update for Amazon Linux 2023. This is AL2023.7. And this now brings a graphical desktop. Yes, the year of Amazon Linux on the desktop. A new kernel option with Linux kernel 6.12, an upgraded OpenSSL to version 3.2.2, and a bunch of things that people have wanted added in as well.
All right, contact center. Amazon Connect now provides the ability to set voice and language dynamically in a contact flow. So you can dynamically set the text-to-speech voices, language, or speaking styles used in both voice bots and interactive voice response. These new capabilities enable you to deliver a more personalized experience for each of your end customers. For example, you have a desired voice configured dynamically based on the primary speaking language set in their customer profile. It's really powerful stuff when you're really thinking about these complex call center workflows. Amazon Connect now allows supervisors to take additional actions on in-progress chats. So an example of when you'd want to use this. So supervisors can now end chats with inactive customers or reassign chats to specific agents or queues. Amazon Connect now supports additional dual-tone multi-frequency configuration settings. Administrators can now adjust this waiting period from 1 to 20 seconds, which was previously fixed at 5 seconds. So this would be useful, let's say, like it's a banking IVR flow, IVR, which stands for Interactive Voice Response System. So you can now set a longer inter-digit timeout for account number entry benefiting customers who may need more time between pressing digits. And we've got some updates in containers. AWS announces a new fulfillment experience for container products in AWS Marketplace, enhancing the deployment and management of container-based software from AWS partners. Amazon EKS adds support for Bottle Rocket FIPS AMIs in managed node groups.
Let's talk databases. My regular reminder, update your stuff. Amazon RDS for SQL Server now supports new minor versions for SQL Server 2019 and 2022. We are also happy to announce horizontal auto-scaling in Amazon ElastiCache for Memcached. So this allows you to automatically adjust capacity of your self-designed Memcached caches without the need for manual intervention. So ElastiCache for Memcached leverages AWS application auto-scaling to manage the scaling process and CloudWatch metrics, our old friends, to determine when to scale in or scale out. This is really important to do. We're also announcing vertical scaling in Amazon ElastiCache. So basically, you can go across ways, lots of small boxes or bigger boxes as well. So this allows you to get dynamic adjustments of the compute memory resources for your ElastiCache from Memcached clusters. Again, flexibility and scalability. Amazon RDS for Oracle now supports the M6 ID and R6 ID database instances. These ones give you up to 7.6 terabytes of NVMe local storage, which is crazy when you need to do processing that goes beyond the memory capacity. So hash joins, aggregations, sorts, all that stuff that doesn't fit into memory. That's the place to do it. Amazon Aurora now supports PostgreSQL 16.8, 15.2, 14.17, and 13.20. And we're also announcing pgvector 0.8.0 support in Aurora PostgreSQL. So this gives you more capabilities. Amazon RDS Custom for SQL Server now supports the new minor version for SQL Server 2019. Amazon Neptune has announced a 99.99% SLA. So this enhancement reflects our continued commitment to providing highly available and reliable graph database services for your mission-critical applications. Amazon RDS for PostgreSQL has extended support for minor versions that are too long for me to read to you because that would just be boring. Amazon RDS for MariaDB has support for Innovation Release 11.8 in the preview environment. So if you want to test that and see what's good and see what breaks in your application, that's the place to do it. And Amazon RDS Proxy has announced TLS 1.3 support for PostgreSQL on Aurora and RDS. And all those updates to me are great examples of the constant innovation that just goes on from all these teams behind the scenes that make life as a IT professional, a developer, what have you, just easier. Because, I mean, Shruti, there's a whole bunch of stuff there that just I'm glad we didn't have to build personally. Someone else did that for us.
That's exactly what I was thinking. You know, this is the advantage of somebody else doing it for us. Like even the availability, it just went up from 99.9 to 99.99, you know, and we just keep adding those nines and pushing the limits. And you get this magic, you don't have to do anything. What you're using just gets better.
So, yeah, it's not, because adding that extra nine, that's no small thing.
It's no small thing. Well, we know that, right? Yeah, absolutely. That's so true. All right. Next up, we have a couple of updates under developer tools. AWS Code Build now supports Node 22, Python 3.13, Go 1.24, and Ruby 3.4 in Lambda Compute. These new runtime versions are available in both x86 and ARM 64-bit architectures. AWS CodeBuild is a fully managed continuous integration service that compiles source code, runs tests, and produces software packages ready for deployment. And so it now supports all of these new Lambda Compute, it adds support for all of these in the Lambda Compute images. AWS CodeBuild now supports enhanced debugging experience through secure and isolated sandbox environments. You can connect to the sandbox environment via SSH clients or from an IDE to interactively troubleshoot your build or test runs.
Next up, front-end, web, and mobile. And we've got more IPv6. It's everywhere.
It's all over.
AWS end-user messaging now supports IPv6. AWS end-user messaging expands self-service for phone number registration support in 18 new countries. And now we've got some updates in management and governance. This one I'm excited about. So we've got some new guidance in the well-architected tool. As a solutions architect, of course, this well-architected has a soft spot in my heart. And if you haven't used it, I highly recommend it. It's one of those timeless things, the best practices that are there. They're going to always evolve as new patterns that evolve to be able to implement the best practices. But otherwise, the framework around it still is timeless. What do you think, Simon?
Yeah, I agree. If you're not using it, you're missing out. I mean, it's free. It's in your account. You control your data. But it's a great reference point to say, is my app good, not good, needs improvement, what have you? And you can see over time what's going on. But you're totally right, Gillian, that it's not a static thing, because what is quote-unquote best practice changes and should change over time. And so we try and roll that in to that. And I think they've gone through and refreshed everything on this one.
Yeah, they really have. I mean, there have been improvements for 78 new best practices that offer actionable guidance to help organizations build more secure, resilient, scalable, and sustainable workloads. So with this release, the well-architected framework has refreshed 100% of each pillar, including the reliability pillar, with 14 of its best practices updated for the first time since major framework improvements started in 2022. So that means that for everyone here listening with this refresh, you're all in due for a new look at going to the well-architected framework. Absolutely.
Time for a checkup.
It really is. Amazon CloudWatch application signals now supports creating service level objectives using metrics from your service dependencies. You can now monitor the performance of your services dependencies and proactively resolve problems through service level objective goal setting, thanks to this new ability. Amazon CloudWatch logs now supports log events up to 1 megabyte in size, and this is a 4x increase from the previous 256 kilobyte limit. This enhancement applies to the CloudWatch Logs Put Log Events API and OpenTelemetry Protocol endpoint.
Next up, we have a few updates on our media services. We are announcing the end of sale for AWS Elemental Link HD devices effective April 15, 2024. AWS Elemental Link UHD devices will continue to be available for purchase. To support HD content contribution workflows, Link UHD has now added HD ingest pricing, providing a seamless path for new deployments. Existing Link HD devices will continue to be supported, with Link UHD now serving as the recommended solution for both HD and UHD contribution workflows. We are also launching two significant updates to AWS Elemental Media Tailor pricing. A new VOD ad insertion usage type priced at a 50% discount to live. The new pricing model aligns better with how streaming providers monetize their content. Elimination of the 75 cents per 1,000 ads pricing tier. So live ad insertion now has a single tier at 50 cents per 1,000 ads. By removing the tiered pricing model of 1 to 5 million insertions and greater than 5 million insertions per month, this makes it easier for you to predict your bill and get started with Media Tailor. AWS Elemental Media Live Anywhere now supports SMPTE-ST2110 professional broadcast input standards on your own hardware. With this new capability, you can ingest professional IP-based video, audio, and metadata streams directly into Media Live Anywhere nodes running on your own infrastructure while maintaining centralized control using the AWS Management Console.
Let's talk migration and transfer. And we're really excited to announce that AWS Mainframe Modernization Service is now available with greater control of managed runtime environments that run modernized mainframe applications. So for both refactored and replatformed applications, you can now export data sets to an Amazon S3 bucket. Optionally, you can choose to encrypt the exported data set, and this makes it easy for you to move that across environments and to archive data sets. So this is really important if you're doing stuff in the mainframe world. And I love that we still talk about this because that's where I started my career in mainframe. So, you know, I wonder if it's going to last the entirety of my career. I think it probably will, is what I'm thinking. AWS Transfer Family introduces additional configuration options for SFTP connectors. So this allows you to have more choices around things like OpenSSH key format for authentication, the ability to discover remote server's host key for validating server identity, and lots of other security and performance stuff. And AWS Transfer Family SFTP connectors can now delete, rename, or move files on remote SFTP servers.
Next topic is networking and content delivery. All right, this one I know a lot of you have been asking for. We are making it easier for customers to understand their inter-AZ VPC peering usage within the same AWS region by introducing a new usage type in their bill. These changes won't affect customers' charges and will help them easily understand their VPC peering costs, enabling them to choose the right architecture based on cost, performance, and ease of management. Gateway Load Balancer now supports load balancer capacity unit reservation that allows you to proactively set a minimum bandwidth capacity for your load balancer, complementing its existing ability to auto-scale based on your traffic pattern. Amazon CloudFront supports VPC origin modification with CloudFront functions. You can now create dynamic routing policies that direct individual requests between any origin, including VPC origins, by simply providing the ID for the origin. So an example is you can automatically route each request to different applications by creating weights to send a certain percentage of traffic to multiple backend services, all without updating your distribution configuration. You can also create new origin groups dynamically with the ability to set multiple origins with failover criteria. This is really powerful for a lot of applications that want to utilize edge computing. AWS announces the general availability of VPC Route Server to simplify dynamic routing between virtual appliances and your Amazon VPC. Route Server allows you to advertise routing information through broader gateway protocol from virtual appliances and dynamically update the VPC route tables associated with subnets and internet gateway.
For networking folks, that's a big deal. Now, when I did the updates for artificial intelligence earlier, I missed out three. So you're getting three extra ones here. There you go. Bonus content. Party Rock has introduced the image playground powered by Amazon Nova Canvas. So now you can turn ideas into customizable images. Also, we're announcing Amazon Nova Reel 1.1. So this enables a generation of multi-shot videos of up to 2 minutes in length and style consistency across shots. It also improves quality and latency in 6-second single shot generation over Nova Reel 1.0. This offers now two modes, automated mode and manual mode. In automated mode, you can generate multiple 6-second videos with a single prompt and specify the total video duration up to 2 minutes. In manual mode, you get more granular control, so you can input a text prompt and an optional image for each 6-second shot. And you can choose to receive them either individually as separate shots or stitched together in an S3 location. These things are evolving really well, which is really great to see. And Amazon Nova Canvas now supports fine tuning through Amazon Bedrock. So it means you can adapt your model to your unique data sets and brand characteristics. And fine-tuned models can be tested and deployed with provisioned throughput for consistent performance.
All right, let's look at security, identity, and compliance next. IAM Identity Center has a new SDK plugin that simplifies AWS resource authorization for applications that authenticate with external identity providers such as Microsoft Entra ID, Okta, and others. The plugin, which supports Trusted Identity Propagation, or TIP, streamlines how external IDP, or Identity Provider Tokens, are exchanged for IAM Identity Center tokens. Amazon Security Lake now supports Internet Protocol version 6, IPv6.
We need a bell or some sort of, you know, sound effect.
Yeah, we do.
Actually, I do have sound effects here, which is scary. But I will resist the urge to use a sound effect.
Yeah. I think this will be a very musical show if we did that. Okay, so Amazon Security Lake customers can now use IPv6 addresses via new dual-stack endpoints to configure and manage the service. Amazon Security Lake has achieved FedRAMP High authorization in AWS GovCloud region and FedRAMP Moderate in the U.S. East and U.S. West regions. If you are a federal agency, public sector organization, or enterprise with FedRAMP compliance requirements, you can now centralize your security data using Amazon Security Lake. AWS announces the general availability of the AWS Cloud Development Kit L2 construct for Amazon Cognito Identity Pools. This library enables you to programmatically define and deploy identity pool resources using familiar programming languages, making it easier to grant users secure access to AWS services in their applications. IAM Identity Center has enhanced its session management and trusted identity propagation capabilities for customers that connect Microsoft Active Directory as their identity source. The enhanced capabilities help customers manage user sessions, scale their use of AWS applications such as Amazon Q Developer Pro, and implement use cases such as for analytics with trusted identity propagation. And finally, AWS Resource Explorer now supports 32 more resource types across all AWS commercial regions from services including Amazon API Gateway, AWS CloudTrail, and Amazon CloudFront.
AWS Serverless Application Model now supports custom domain names for private REST APIs, which is a feature of Amazon API Gateway. Developers building serverless applications using SAM can now seamlessly incorporate custom domain names for private APIs directly in their SAM templates, eliminating the need to configure custom domain names separately using other tools. Amazon EventBridge, Archive, and Replay now supports AWS KMS for encrypting archived events. This expands your encryption options by letting you choose between default AWS own keys for simpler automated data protection or customer-managed keys to help meet your organization's specific security and governance requirements. AWS announces the general availability of the Cloud Development Kit L2 construct library for EventBridge Scheduler. This construct library allows developers to programmatically create, configure, and manage scheduled tasks using infrastructure as code with their preferred programming language, simplifying the process of building event-driven applications.
And finally, to wrap up, we're going to talk about storage. Amazon S3 Express OneZone has reduced storage and request prices. Yes, one of my favorite topics, a price cut. Starting from when you hear this, if not before, we have reduced pricing for storage by 31% put request by 55% and get request by 85%. In addition, S3 Express OneZone has reduced its per gigabyte data upload and retrieval charges by 60% and now applies these charges to all bytes rather than just portions of requests exceeding 512 kilobytes. Amazon FSx for NetApp ONTAP now supports ONTAP Autonomous Ransomware Protection. So this proactively monitors your file system for unusual activity. AWS Parallel Cluster 3.13 with support for Ubuntu 24.04 and support for EFA is enabled with Amazon FSx for Lustre. That was a mouthful, but basically you can use your EFA with your FSx Lustre systems to get higher throughput for your compute jobs, which reduces overall costs and gets your answers to your scientific questions faster. And AWS Step Functions has expanded its SDK integrations with support for Amazon Backup Search. So you can now orchestrate backup, discovery, and management actions directly in your workflows without writing additional integration code, which is always a good thing. Well, there was lots going on this time round. Shruti, what leapt out at you? Was there anything in particular that thought, might want to get my hands on that, or I can think of about six customers that could use that very, very much immediately?
Oh, wow. Well, in terms of customers who could use it immediately, I think the guardrails thing that we talked about at the very top of the show definitely stood out. But then in addition to that, I think all of those, all of those updates on our databases, like the availability of that was a lot. And it just made me think that, they sound incremental, but this is what kind of keeps pushing it. So yeah, I think those caught my attention.
Yeah, fair enough. Jillian, what about you?
This was a really big episode. Like there are a lot of announcements that could have been like favorites in maybe previous episodes. So this is hard to pick one, but I will pick one. And I'm going to pick the S3 Express OneZone reducing storage and request prices because almost every customer uses S3. And especially as your data grows and you're really looking for ways to cost optimize, the one that requires zero code changes is always a win.
This is true. Well, for me, it was the Q developer multi-language support. And the reason why that's important, at least from my perspective, is that when I look at the stats for the podcast, we have an international audience. Like we have people in so many countries. Like it's very, very cool to see. We're very gratified and humbled about the fact that you take the time to listen to us. But we're also very conscious that not everyone we broadcast to speaks English as their first language. And I understand that can be difficult given you're trying to decode this Australian's accent as well. So that's an extra bonus point there. But the fact that there are all these different languages now that are supported within the Q developer experience means that you can feel more comfortable in what you're doing, which I think is really important and something that folks can use straight away. So that's it. Shruti, how do folks reach out to you if they want to get in touch?
Find me as Shruti Koparkar on LinkedIn or X.
And Jillian, what about yourself?
Jillian Ford on LinkedIn.
And for me, it is awspodcast@amazon.com. Yes, I'm old school, not into the social media thing, get off my lawn. And of course, until next time, keep on building.